Jesus was trying to withdraw, to get some time alone. He put out into a boat, but the crowd saw where he was headed and they took off on foot and they beat him around the lake. And yet, even though he was grieving and he longed to be alone, when he saw the crowds, he loved them. Compassion filled him and he healed the sick that they brought to him. But then it was getting to be evening and the disciples were concerned. Nobody had planned to travel here today. They hadn't packed up before they took off. And now they didn't have any food. So they came to Jesus and they whispered in his ear, "Send them away so they can get to the village and get something to eat before nightfall." To which Jesus replies as he's healing, I can just imagine him going, "You feed them something. They don't need to go away." Reverend Roy Almist suggests that the church treasures this story because it captures the way in which Jesus challenged his disciples to address a problem and not ignore it. Now, the disciples were shocked by what Jesus was suggesting because, like many of us, the disciples approached problems with a theology of scarcity. They didn't have enough. They couldn't do it. It was out of the question. They shouldn't even try. "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, after all." But Jesus wanted the disciples to think in terms not of what they didn't have, but of what they did have. To have a theology of plenty. Not because they had money in the treasury to run to the village and grab some food for everybody and bring it back, but because they had the vision. They sensed the need, and they were willing to trust that God would provide. But I have to wonder, if the disciples didn't exchange a knowing glance when Jesus said, "You go feed them." You know the look. The one where you half roll your eyes and go, "You're right. How's that going to work out? We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Right? Jesus knows they don't have enough food for all those people. There are 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So when they protest and say, we can't do it. We just can't. Jesus says, "Bring them here to me." And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he looked up to heaven and he blessed them and he broke them. "Blessed art thou, Jehovah, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." He blessed them. He brought them before God. And then as he broke them, he gave them to the disciples and said, now feed. Give them to the crowd. And when they were finished, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 in the Bible is a number that is used to represent completeness and authority under God. Blessed and under the authority of God. The resources of the crowd were completely enough. Now, all 4 Gospels record the story, and as enlightened people, we might try to figure out how it is that this miracle worked, that they stretched the food that far. There are 3 possibilities, really. It could have been a miracle of multiplication. Was it really that the bread and the fish were multiplied and everyone ate until they were full and then there were leftovers? I mean, how does that happen? Any ideas? Maybe their satisfaction was spiritual rather than physical. Maybe each one of them did what we do when we come forward and we take a bit off the bread. I've seen it 1,000 times when we've served communion and people come up and they get a bit of the bread and they take like the tiniest little bit. Maybe it was a spiritual satisfaction rather than physical. Maybe they were strengthened for their journey and content. Or maybe the miracle is one of transformation. When the disciples asked, "Has anybody brought any food?" Had everyone kept quiet, thinking, "If I share what I have, I'm not going to have enough to eat." So maybe when Jesus had them sit down and he took the bread and broke and shared what they had and everyone saw it, they started to share what they had brought with them and there was enough for everybody. William Barclay calls this the miracle of birth, the birth of love in grudging hearts. The miracle of the birth of love in grudging hearts. I'm not convinced that it matters what kind of miracle it is. What seems important to me is the storyline. There's a problem presented. We all have problems in our lives, right? The problem this particular day was that there were hungry people without food. But we have other problems. And there was an instruction given. You go feed them. What was the response? Scarcity claimed. We see the problem. We know the problem. We hear you saying go take care of it, but we just can't. To which Jesus reminds them that they have another resource. Whatever you're saying we only, bring it here to me and let it be blessed. And he takes it, he blesses it, he breaks it, and gives what resources they have. And all are satisfied with leftovers. I think we follow this pattern in our lives and in the church all the time. We have a problem, and we're charged to use what resources we have to address the problem, to which we lament, we can't. We only have this little bit. It's not enough. And Jesus says, bring it here. Bring what you have to be blessed, to be under the authority of God. And then it's complete. There is enough to be satisfied with leftovers. 12 baskets full. Thanks be to God. Amen.